morning. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Oh, we're going to give you a second to jump on. I know last week was kind of a mess. We didn't get it on, and then it went on YouTube. But hopefully, you're there today. We're going to ask you for a little favor. If you're joining us, would you please text or comment in, rather, where you're from, so we can kind of see how far the reach of this video is. Isn't it amazing that we can go all over the world? I'm Kathy Moore. I'm the senior pastor of Northwest Assembly of God, and we are so excited that you're with us this morning. So we're going to begin this day as we do every service. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the World Wide Web that we can join friends across the earth. We pray for your anointing and your blessing upon the word. We pray that you would heal those in need of healing and you would meet the needs of the body. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, we're living in a weird day, aren't we? It's an unusual place that we are, and pastors across the land are learning how to do video and YouTube, and so give us a little grace for a learning curve. But today, I want to share a message with you, and I had asked you on Facebook post and web post and YouTube post to have your Bible, and at the end of service, we're going to partake of communion together, so get a cup of juice and a cracker and have that so that we can partake of communion together. And again, that's going to be also a first for me. But today's message is in Romans 5, 3 through 5. And before we begin reading of the text, I'll give you a chance to get there. Paul wrote this book, and he had some things to say about the benefits that come along with serving the Lord and being in faith with the Lord. One of them that he mentioned was peace. Good Lord, we need peace today, don't we? It would be easy to be lacking in peace, but thank God he is our peace. Paul also tells us that we can hope in the glory of God's glory, and in temporary suffering we can also hope. So that's another benefit, and he also told us we would not be disappointed. Listen, I want to encourage you that this pandemic will pass. We will get through this, but the body of Christ needs to lift this world, the leaders, our president, and his team up in this time. And the pastors across the land, pray for them. Pray for those families that have been stricken by the COVID-19 virus. Pray for them. Pray for divine, miraculous healing. Our God still does that. We have a hope that will not disappoint, because we serve a God who's proved his love for us over and over again. Paul tells us that these benefits are declared not only in this portion of the word, but later John is going to remind us again of some of the benefits. So this morning, we want to look at the peace, the grace, the growth, the love, and the rejoicing, ready for it? Get ready, you're not going to believe it, that comes in suffering. Uh-oh, don't turn us off, please. Hang on with me. I want you to walk through these scriptures with me so that you can see there are benefits when we go through difficult places. There are things that we attain and learn and grow in that we cannot grow in any other places. Do we like to suffer? I've never seen anybody raise their hand when you say, do you want to suffer? The answer is no. But the truth is, as people of hope, we can benefit in suffering. So in Romans 5, 3 through 5, and this morning I'm reading in the English Standard Version. It reads this: not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Father, thank you for the word. Let your anointing rest upon this word. Let me point out a few other translations, and please excuse my writing. I should have been a doctor, I'm sure. These are different translations of verse 3. So you can look here as I read along in my notes. The NIV reads this way on verse 3. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. The English Standard Version says, not only that, but we rejoice. Get a grip on that one. We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And the King James, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. The New American Standard Bible, and not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. And the New Living Testament says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help develop endurance. Finally, the text that I read from for the main text, the Christian Standard Bible. And not only that, but we also rejoice in our afflictions because we know that affliction produces endurance. I want to look at these for just a second this morning. Do you see this on the board? We glory. Have you gloried since this mess has started? We rejoice. Have you rejoiced since this mess has started? We exalt. Have you exalted since this mess has started? You see, there are many things to thank God for. Thank God for His peace. Thank God for technology. I have been overwhelmed with an appreciation to the Lord that I can still reach my church. I can reach friends and family. I can reach the world through technology. I've thanked God for that. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not thrilled at all about COVID-19. My heart is broken and troubled by the loss of life that we've seen. But we must discipline ourselves to come in accordance with the Word of God. So there are things that we can glory, rejoice, and exalt in. Look at what these things produce in our lives. We glory in the suffering because it produces perseverance. We rejoice in suffering because it produces endurance. We need endurance, don't we? Have you been to any grocery stores? Have you been out anywhere trying to obtain the things that just we naturally take so for advantage? We glory in tribulation because it worketh patience. Lord, have mercy. We need patience, don't we? This is a difficult time, and we're not making light of that at all. But I'm telling you, the Spirit in the presence of God, as we will glory and exalt and worship and rejoice in this season, though we don't understand the why to it, it brings about fruit in our life. As we rejoice, things begin to develop. As we exalt, things begin to develop in our life. We glory in tribulation because they work with patience. We all need patience. We exalt because tribulation brings about endurance. And we rejoice when we run into problems and trials because we develop endurance. You see, Paul understood that there was an outcome to difficulties, to suffering, to affliction, to tribulation. And he was speaking to the reader of that day. He was speaking to the believer of that day, and he's speaking to us in this day and saying, eyes up, eyes up, rejoice, exalt, glory in this situation because it'll bring growth in your life. It'll develop perseverance. It'll develop endurance. It'll develop a patience in you So what does this all mean? Because you see, I'm one of those preachers that likes to preach. And so I'm after what this means for us. The benefit is to the believer. To those that don't believe, there's not an outcome of that fruit. So Paul has shown that the believer, as they glory, rejoice, and exalt, receives a state of peace with God forever. And that he helps them through these situations. Paul is pointing to the benefit of our salvation. You know, yes, I have a home prepared where the saints abide, just over in the glory land. Yes, I do. And so do you. But I got to get there first. And I have to live through here to get there. But God has given us the blessed gift of the Holy Spirit to help us here to live. But we have to be disciplined, mature believers to understand we will make it through. We will make it through as we keep our eyes up, as we rejoice, as we exalt, as we glory in the suffering, in the tribulation, in the problem, in the affliction, because it'll develop these things in our life: perseverance, endurance, patience. We need those things. We need those things as never before in our walk here on this earth, in the United States, in this walk that we're in. For those of you that may be joining us from other lands, in the lands you're in, we need this outcome that only comes through God. Our walk in Christ counts for something. I want to tell you, he never promised us that we would not have suffering here on earth. There's going to be suffering. It's part of life. It's part of breathing each and every day. There are difficulties. But he promised us, though we would have those difficulties, those afflictions, those trials, those tribulations, that he would never leave us. He would never forsake us. He would always be with us. That's a gift of our salvation. It's a gift that comes from our relationship in God. You know, there's something else that our salvation accomplishes in us as we go through suffering, trials, tribulations, and afflictions. Do you know that there are people watching your life to see how you handle, as a believer, this situation, this difficulty, being trapped in your home, being unable to go to work, only to go to the grocery store or other necessary things? Here in San Antonio, we're on stay home rule. But our testimony is an important outcome of the great good of what this suffering and difficulty presents in our life. Because people that know you love and serve the Lord are watching to see how you handle this. Christians, don't run out and stock your garage with everything that's in there. Be reasonable. There are other people in this world that we need to think about and care for. The other thing that this produces is it produces a deep root in us. A deep root in Christ, drawing nearer to him, standing closer to him, being more convinced of his provision and presence in our lives. It deepens our relationship as we depend on him more and more. And that's something some of us fight. I fought it for years because I thought I could do it all by myself, but I can't. I came to a realization that I could not, that I needed him. I needed him in a depth and a way that I had not given him. And so in surrendering and in deepening my relationship with him, I can depend on him. I can rely on him. I know that he will not leave me. I know that he is there. I know he will see me through the darkest, most difficult place in life. That's my promise in the Word, but it's not just mine. It's yours. The other benefits of our spiritual relationship is this endurance again. Endurance is the ability to stick with. Oh my, We need to be able to stick with in this day, don't we? We need to be able to hang on. So I'm telling you, hang on. Helps on the way through him. It increases our hope. It increases our faith. And it makes us closer to God. But you know, as I was preparing this message and thinking about it, of course I had to think about the natural things it also produces. As I've been online and chatting with friends across South Texas and the United States, there are a lot of natural benefits that have come from this situation. You have time with your family that you've not had before. Spend that time with your kids and your wife and enjoy it. Love on them. The average American works far more than 40 hours a week, so take advantage of this time with them. If your heart is perplexed and fearful, pray with your partner. Pray with your children. Comfort one another with the word. Well, here's a kind of just technical one, common sense one. We can all get together and clean the house out. Go through your closets. I'm sure there's some clothes in there that you've been saying, well, when I lose 15 pounds, I'm going to wear that. Revelation to you this morning, get rid of it. You're probably not going to lose those 15 pounds. Somebody could enjoy that clothing right now, so donate it. So when you clean your house, make three piles. Toss, keep, and donate. You could clean your yard up. Get out in the yard. In the neighborhood I'm in, there are people working like little busy bees in their yards, making them beautiful. Help your kids with a project in the yard. You can attack the garage and straighten it up. The other thing that this time in the natural does for us, it lets us have time to visit and talk with friends that we might not ordinarily have the time to text, email, or talk on the phone with them. So don't waste the opportunity. Don't let fear grip your heart to the point that you will waste the opportunity of this season. You also can spend more time in prayer. You can read or listen to your Bible even more. Again, the Lord never said to us that we would not suffer here on earth, but he promised us he would help us through it and that it would be temporary. Again, Paul called this endurance, that suffering created, produced endurance. And endurance then produced a powerful, positive character. Endurance, like I said, is the ability to keep going, to hang on to not stop when your body's going, okay, I need to stop. You know, long-distance runners know very well, marathoners know very well about endurance and kicking in when everything is telling you, stop, stop. We need endurance. In this context, endurance is about our ability to trust God in the longer stretch of time. We don't know when this thing's going to end. We hope it ends soon, but we don't know. We don't know. Our stay-in rule lasts until April 9th in San Antonio, Texas. I don't know when it'll end. No one does. But what I do know is that endurance will keep us hanging on no matter how long this suffering, the affliction, the trial, the tribulation last. It produces an opportunity for you and for me to grow deeper in the Lord. I told you John, but I meant to say James when I said John and Paul had something to say about this. It's actually James. And it appears in James 1, 2, and 3. James said, ready, count it all joy. Brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Now, across the world, let's all shout. Ready? James said, count it all joy. Paul and James both saw the same reality of a different focus in the season of suffering. When we look up, when we rejoice, when we glory, when we exalt, it produces something in our lives. James said to count it all joy because this testing of your faith was going to produce steadfastness. I'm telling you, I think believers are going to root deeper during this time if they'll keep their focus upward, because rejoicing is a choice. That's the thing I also want to say. You make a decision how you view all of this and what you'll do with it. Will you walk confidently that the Lord is with you? Will you be steadfast and choose to rejoice, to glory, to exalt in this season for the benefits that it brings to your life? Because those things, exalting, glory, rejoicing, bring perseverance, endurance, patience. Those are fruits that it renders in our life. I want those fruits in my life. I want those fruit in my fellowship's life. I want them in your life. And they're possible by God Almighty's relationship with each and every one of us. Yes, this virus is horrible. And yes, we don't know how many people will lose their lives to it. Those are true things. But we are charged in Scripture to glory, to rejoice, and to exalt during times of suffering and tribulation and turmoil and trouble and affliction, difficult times. We're charged to do that for what it produces in our life and what it produces in the power of our testimony, in the power of what people witness in our lives. I encourage you, draw near. The building might be empty. This is the church building. It is not the church. You are the church. Be the church. Okay, I'm going to give you a second. Get your cup and your bread or cracker, whatever it is that you have chosen this morning. Again, this is a very unique experience. I've never done communion online, but I felt moved by the Spirit to offer this to those of all of us that have been unable to receive communion in these weeks. In the assemblies of God, there is no restriction on who can receive communion. Communion is open with one caveat, and that is that we know the Lord as Lord and Savior. But viewer, here's the good news this morning. We don't have to join a church to know Him. We don't have to take a test to know Him. We don't have to call in somewhere to know Him. We just have to call to Him. If you've never met Him as Lord and Savior of your life, this is the day. You know what it takes? Lord, forgive me of my sin. I want to receive You as Lord and Savior. Enter my heart, enter my life, and change me. I receive You, Lord. That's what it takes. If that's what you need to do, then this morning I encourage you to do it. I want to read to you from Hebrews 10:19 through 25 as we prepare to receive communion. Again, all you need is a cup of juice and a cracker or a piece of bread. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain, that is, His body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, which we'll get back to doing after these restrictions. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You can encourage your brothers and sisters in Christ through the internet, through text, through call. Scripture tells us encourage one another. We read in 1 Corinthians 11:23, Paul said, "For I received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that in the night in which he was betrayed, the Savior took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and he said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Would you partake of the body of Christ? And in like manner, he also took the cup. And again, he gave thanks. And giving it to his disciples, he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Do this in memory of me." Would you partake of the cup this morning? "For as often as you do eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Thank you so much for joining us today. The music that you've heard is my friend Beth Wee. Thank you, Beth, for making those CDs for us. Thank you for joining us. If you need prayer, you can send in your prayer request at info@northwestag.org. You can join us at Northwest Assembly of God Facebook, what you're on right now. We post throughout the week. Join us on there. You can join us at northwestag.org, our web, and you can also see us and join us on YouTube, Northwest Assembly of God. We're here for you. I may not be able to come out and see you face to face, but we can minister and pray for you, and we would love to do that. Listen, glory, rejoice, exalt. This season of suffering, tribulation, trial, affliction, and difficulty will pass. And if we will do the things Scripture has admonished us to do, it will produce in our life perseverance, endurance, patience, and we will be a powerful witness of the truth of who God is. Let's pray this morning. Thank you, Lord, for all those that have joined us. I pray your Holy Spirit has moved upon this word. I pray that you give them peace. I pray that they be challenged to exalt, to glory, and to rejoice in you. Help us draw near to you each and every day. May the peace of the Lord be upon each and every one of you. May his countenance shine on you. Go with God. Serve him. Even though you're stuck in your house, you can still serve him. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Amen.